Just what is it all about? Ellen, you told us, listening to YouTube with Eckhart Tolle and a seminar that he gave and discussion he gave on what was your topic?
Thoughts
are addictive.
Well, my.
Ellen, that's all I want to know. You see, if you don't get an impression from whatever you hear, listen to, and it makes something yours, they can talk forever.
Right.
It makes no difference. Now, his talk was on many things, I'm sure. Now, Anita said what? Thought is?
Addictive.
What does addictive mean?
Like a drug.
It's a habit.
An outer thing.
It's an outer habit, but it's more than that. Addictive means
something you must do.
It's something you must do. That's exactly right. It's something you must do. You can't get around doing it without being very unhappy. When you have a cigarette, I gotta have a cigarette. That's addictive. I gotta have my supper at 6 o'clock. If I don't have my supper at 6 o'clock, you know, the whole world's gonna go fall apart. You know, I get up every morning at the stroke of 5, or the stroke of 6, or stroke of 7, whatever it is, you know. And if I get up any time after or before that, I'm out of sync, you know. Okay, now. You listened to our talk this morning on light. White is?
Divine.
Color?
It's human.
Okay. You like to be human. It's much more interesting than being divine. And human is always going to be much more interesting than being divine. It's always going to be much more interesting than being divine. Because this is divine. This is a book. And this book I'm calling divine. And until you go in it, you don't know how interesting it is. Until you go in this book, you don't realize how exciting it is. You're living in this outer world, and you think that's all she writes. You look at the snow coming down, and the rain coming down, and you look at the weather, and you say, wow, wow, oh, boo, you know. Now, I am addicted to, when I open a dictionary, I cannot just look up the word I'm looking up. I go around and look at all the other words. And then each word draws me into another word. And so in the dictionary, I'm looking up all sorts of things. And we have the almanac right here next to me. And that's what I'm holding in my hand now. You think this is not an interesting book? Just because you haven't opened it. You open this book, what's going to happen to you? You're going to be everywhere and every way and every which way. You're going to be back in ancient history. You're going to be at all the presidents of the United States and so forth. You're going to be, you know, when all the wars were fought. Isn't that fascinating? You're going to be how many hospitals there are in the world, you know? Fascinating. But you don't know what's in this book until you open it. And then you still don't know because you've got to read it. Now, that's how white is. White is the unopened book of our consciousness in which all dwells. The allness, isn't that true? The allness dwells in white. All right? Now, if you will turn your attention to that white, to that allness, what happens to you? Now, Eckhart Tolle was asked, how do you move along? How do you move along? If thoughts are so compelling and so addictive. And Eckhart Tolle said, you don't move along by thinking of the thoughts that are addictive in the past. You move along by setting a new parameter for yourself, a new goal for yourself, a new purpose for yourself. You don't get over not knowing what the white is all about, what the divine is all about, until you start studying the divine. Open the almanac. Open that book. Open the allness. Now, these people from India, the Indians, the gurus and so forth, look at the sun. They don't look at the sun. They look around the sun. But they look at the sun. sometimes for hours during the day. And it's not too good for their eyes, but the thing is, it does them whatever they want done. Now, what are they looking for? Why are they looking at the sun? Why are they searching the sun? Because out of the sun comes all, they think. It's the source of all wisdom, all power, all warmth, all matter, all energy, everything. That's okay. But Anita, in 100 words or less, tell me where all matter and all wisdom and all the allness comes from.
From inside of me.
Boy, doesn't she have an inflated attitude about herself, yeah? From inside of her. And this is what each one of us must say. The allness is inside of us, and that's where we do our playground and our research. When we are playing with the allness inside of us, then all this outer world becomes superfluous, becomes unimportant. It's not that it's bad. It's just that it's just a little fly or a little mosquito buzzing around. And when we're in charge, the mosquito doesn't touch us. When we are in charge, these things that go on in our human world do not take our attention. When we are in charge, we are the masters, not because against the mosquito, but we are for the magic that we're learning about within ourselves. And that's where it all stands, and that's where it all is. Now, do you want that? Now, Eckhart Tolle is on a very fascinating subject, and people just sit at his feet and say, "Tell me, Master, tell me more." And Eckhart Tolle says, "I wish I could. But for me, I am what I am. And I cannot be you for what you are. You have to be you for what you are. And you're going to be interested in horse and buggies. I'm interested in jets." And there's nothing wrong with horse and buggies, but that's long passé, long ago. Now, where are you going to take your attention? You're going to take your attention to the mosquitoes? Or you're going to take some mosquito spray and just normal mosquitoes? Or are you going to be immune to anything? And the word immune is not really the right word to use. But are you going to be immune to anything in your world? Are you going to be untouched? Untouched by anything in your world? To which you do not give your attention. Are you ever going to be touched by something you don't give your attention to?
Mm-mm.
No. Things go on around you, tough, tough, tough. And if you don't give it your attention, for you, it does not exist. You know, what about a building caving in? I'm right in the middle. You don't create yourself in that situation. You know, why do people create themselves in situations of hurricanes and floods and fire and famine and all that good stuff? Because they want to. People move directly in the path of the hurricanes in Florida because they want to be there. They don't move in the path of the hurricanes because they don't want to be there. They think the property is a little cheaper, you know. People build on the edge of the cliff overlooking the ocean, which is a glorious view and fantastic. They should rather put a tent there. But they put their house there, and a storm comes along, and whoosh, down goes their house. And they say, "Oh, poor me, poor me." They put it there on purpose. Now, you put your attention on things that you don't want, and then you say, "I didn't want that." People say, "I don't want a broken arm. I never thought of a broken arm." Oh, don't kid me. You don't know what goes on in your mind one teensy-weensy little bit. In your mind are all sorts of exciting experiences. You see movies with people in crutches. You see things here. You see that. You go to the hospital. I say, "Hospital, what does it say to you?" It says someone who needs help, you know? Yeah. Or baby. Yeah, yeah. Good to have a baby. Remember that? We had that in our seminars. Heard the siren go and taking someone to the hospital. "A lady is going to have a baby." She could have done it at home much nicer. But anyhow, it's interesting. We want all that is glorious and good in this world, we say. But we still are amused by the war. We're still amused by poverty. We're still amused by doing our own thing and running away and doing our own thing. You never can run away from yourself. You always take yourself with you. You take that same person that was unhappy before with you to that new location. And I don't like that school. The teachers aren't very nice. The teachers aren't very, very good. And so the parents move the child to another school. And the other school, the teachers are just as bad. But then the child falls in love with some super girlfriend or super boyfriend, the bestest and bestest in the world. They're only 6, 7, 8 years old, you know. The superest kid in the world. And because their super friend is in that school all of a sudden became a glorious school, and they couldn't wait to go to school each day to learn from their teachers to be in the presence of their dearly beloved, you know? And dearly beloved doesn't have to wait until you're 12 or 15 or 18 or 20 years old, you know. It starts with your best boyfriend, the bestest, bestest, bestest boyfriend or girlfriend that you ever had. Did you ever have sex with them? No. They were your true love. They were harmonious with you. They were one with you, and you were one with them. And just being in their presence was enough to make you totally happy, you know. We have the opportunity to live in our ideal world right now, right where we are. We may go away, we may come, we may travel the world, we may do all sorts of good things, that's good, but we don't go to it. You never go to your happiness. You never go to the fulfillment of your dreams. You only find the fulfillment of your dreams inside of you. And when you find that, you don't tell anybody. You have it. You know it. You don't tell anybody, oh, I found the fulfillment of my dream. I'm so happy. And people say, boy, you're crazy. Nobody finds the fulfillment of a dream because they're still looking. When you find it, you don't rub it into somebody else. Ha, 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 I stood still and I stayed where I was and I found it. That wasn't how you found it. You went inside yourself in one beautiful moment. In one beautiful moment, you woke up and said, you know, I like me. I'm a nice person. I enjoy being in my company. My dog has been telling me all of my life, all the life of the Dad, you're wonderful. Dad, you're wonderful. And I didn't believe him. I didn't realize how smart that dog was, you know. We don't realize how smart our kids are and our chickens are. They cling to us, you know. What is it they say about animals and birds and stuff like that? They bond with one another. Now, how do they bond with one another? They feel simpatico with that other one. And what did they do in the zoo? When this mother lion lost her babies, they put pigs in next to her, and they put a pig sometimes in the gown of a lion, piglet, a lion cub. But the mother didn't care. The mother wanted to mother. Mm-hmm. It was her nature to mother at that moment, and she just accepted it, and she was in paradise again. She wasn't worried about the lost kids, the lost cubs. She perhaps would have liked to have the lost cubs with her because they are trained. But now these piglets, she's going to train them to go out and search for food and do things. But what the piglets know how to do is to suckle, and they do that very well. They eat very well, and the mama is very happy. Her motherly instincts are taken care of. But you see, we fool ourselves, and we kid ourselves, and we think that we're doing things that are wonderful and fantastic. But if every instant along the way we are not absolutely happy, we're not doing it right. Mm-hmm. If you are doing anything that you say, oh, this is so much fun, but I keep hurting my toe and I keep rubbing my knuckle, and you're not doing something right. I'm not saying what you're doing is wrong. I'm saying there's something that you're not doing that you should be doing. Now, what is that you're, well, I'm surrounded by the pure white light of love, and everything I do turns out beautiful, and everybody I talk to turns out lovely, and I am just a glorious lady, you know, glorious man. I'm just doing everything wonderful. But If you say, why don't my grandchildren grow up? Why don't my children grow up? Why don't I grow up? And I was talking to Ellen yesterday about my being an ideal driver. And she said, well, she likes to drive rather fast, you know. And she's driving along, and all of a sudden the car is going more than she wants it to. And she looks down, she says, ooh, I don't need to do that. She back now, why? If Ellen is the ideal woman, then, ipso facto, the ideal driver, why does her foot not know what the right speed is?
It does.
It does, oh yes. But the thing is, you say to your foot, my husband is a crazy driver. He's a driver who drives so fast and so... And I am a crazy driver. I like to drive fast, too. I like to drive fast. Do you really like to drive fast?
No.
Then why do you say it? No, no answer. But why do we say that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you the ideal mother? I don't have any children. I'm not even married. Are you the ideal mother?
Yes.
Yes. If you had a child in your presence, would you know how to act with them, and would they feel the perfect mother was tending? Somebody really cared about them?
Yes.
What does a mother do?
She loves unconditionally.
She really cares. She loves unconditionally. You see? And they know that. Those piglets knew that this lioness was loving them unconditionally. They didn't know she was a lion and that they were pigs. They had no idea, you know. And in many veterinarian camps or something, rather, different animals get together and bond, and a dog and a wolf, or a dog and a pig. And not, I don't mean that. A dog and a cow or a horse, a dog and a horse, they bond, you know. And they have nothing in common. But they love each other. And one was shown where this dog was blind. And the other dog led the dog around. Showed him where everything was and how everything was. And stayed within smelling range of the dog so the dog could be comfortable. And the dog was blind. Now, why did this other dog take on the responsibility of being the seeing eye for the other dog? He didn't. He did what?
He loves the other dog. He bonds.
Unconditionally.
Yes.
He loved unconditionally. Yes. To love is what anyone can do, you know. Okay. But to unconditionally love, that's the big measure.
Yeah.
And you see, he loved unconditionally. He didn't have any conditions that dog was blind, and I don't want to play with a blind dog. Oh, my goodness sakes, what would people think of me going around with a blind dog, you know? They think I'm blind. No. They don't think anything. They're all too busy doing their own things. Just like the dogs in the kennel are too busy doing their own things to think about you taking care of your brother, you know? Silly. But you see, when you are divine, you don't do those things to be seen. And you certainly never tell anybody you're doing it. You tell anybody you're doing it, and you're doing it for credit. You know, and if nobody knows it, if even the person who you're helping doesn't know it, you're always there when they're going to bump into something. You're always there to show them the way. You're always there to be loving to them. But that gives you a good feeling inside of yourself. That gives you a good feeling inside of yourself working with that one and making their life a little more happy, you know. And what a joyous experience. Now you ask, how do we get rid of these old habits that are, what were they?
Addictive.
Addictions that were controlling our life. How do we get rid of them? You don't. You get about your business of doing what you want to do. Maybe building new addictions. Doing what you want to do. Katerina, she is an addicted person to horses. She thinks horses are the coolest things in the world and horses are nice. But she doesn't really believe that. She believes she is a wonderful horse trainer and a wonderful horse respecter and a wonderful horse caring about her, you know. That's her nature. She is just dedicated. She doesn't really go around telling everybody, I like horses, I like horses. She has horses, you know. She doesn't go around telling. I'm with this Pirelli thing, you know, and I think that's wonderful. I'm learning so much there. And I'm doing. What a crazy woman. And another crazy person. Another absolutely insane person. The horse whisperer. Did you see that movie?
Yes.
The horse whisperer. Here, this horse was all frightened and all uptight and all shook up, and he had emotions inside him. Well, the horse whisperer gained his confidence before he expected him to do anything else. He gained his confidence by being in the field and sitting there thinking, you're a good horse. I like you. You're a wonderful horse. You got a lot going for you. You got this whole family who think you're pretty cool, you know. And let's just become mellow and become peaceful. Just come on over here. Little by little, the horse trots over to him, you know, trots. Little by little, the horse comes over to where he is and brushes his hat off. It says, I'm here, you know, I'm here. And what's happening? The horse whisperer became one with the horse. And that's what Caesar Marino does, the horse, the dog whisperer. He does that with the same thing with dogs. First he goes in and he says, I am at peace. Just because a dog is chewing everybody up, he goes in there, I am peace. And when he goes in there, the dog doesn't know what to make of him at first, because this guy's not afraid of him. This guy's loving him. And he goes in there, and what does he do, Ellen? What does he do when he goes into this big old dog? What does he do?
He is in peace and sees the dog in peace.
Yes, but what does he do with his body? He opens the cage door. Talk up if you know it.
He keeps him low, not high.
Yeah, but he goes into the cage how?
He doesn't crawl in on the same.
He puts his back to the dog.
Yeah.
Not his front, which is a manipulative act. He puts his back to the dog, and the dog doesn't feel offended by him, mm-hmm. doesn't feel threatened by him. The dog just feels, well, what's this going on here?
Yeah.
This is new. This is new. It's like the puppies would get their back to their mommy and daddy. Okay, and then what happens? No. Don't put your hand up.
The
talk can't take your measurement of your hand.
Dog,
I'm not doing this with video.
In Caesar.
No. The dog has confidence in himself.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a hoot about Caesar. Caesar is just a log that's sitting there, unoffending, untouching any emotion in him. He is at peace with himself. And then Caesar slowly touches him or whatever he does. Maybe he doesn't, backs in several times, you know. But he doesn't make any quick moves. He just makes the dog feel content. Now, isn't that the way it goes?
Mm-hmm.
The dog is content. Now, how do we change what have been habits for a long time?
Putting a new habit down.
We just slowly back in with it. We slowly bring forth our feeling of confidence. And we certainly never, never have the feeling inside of us they're worthless and useless. There's nothing we can do to get together with that dog or to get together with that situation. They're beyond help. They're addicted. And the addiction is so strong, there's no way to get around. They're not addicted. They'll become just as quickly addicted to a new situation as not. And they'll become just as quickly unaddicted. They bite everybody. That's an addiction. And then they start licking everybody. That's an addiction too. But they start licking with gentleness. I say, that's enough, you know. A little bit, that's enough. I know, yeah, you're loving me. That's lovely. But no, relax. So Eckhart Tolle is doing a monumental work in getting people to think, to live in the now. And the dog whisperer certainly was living in the now. And the horse whisperer is living. And Katerina Suter, Tarwin, is living in the now. With all her heart, just loving what she's doing. And she does not care whether she makes a mint or whether she makes a penny. She just does everything out of the joy of her heart. And she is a most amazing woman. But she's an amazing woman because she used to fight. She used to be a fighter. She pushed her way around to get everything she wanted. Then all of a sudden she said, why bother? I'll just be me. I'm a nice person. And when she found out she was a nice person, then she wanted to associate with herself, not to be a challenge to somebody else. You see, when we love ourselves, we don't go around telling other people how to live. See, when Ellen loves herself, she doesn't tell Ingeborg your bib is slipping. She doesn't tell Ingeborg your oxygen is not in your nose properly. She doesn't tell Ingeborg that she's this, that, or the other thing. Now, Ellen may be like the sighted dog and the blind dog and sort of go over and nudge her a little bit. But not say, do this, do that, do the other thing. You know, because if you say that, the blind dog isn't going to follow you at all. Because the blind dog doesn't want a boss. The blind dog wants an unconditional lover. And so we're an unconditional lover when we say to Ingeborg, Ingeborg, you're fantastic. You're glorious. Ingeborg, I know something you don't know, and I don't think I'll tell you. You know what I know that she doesn't know? She doesn't need that oxygen because it's never in her nose.
It's true.
It's always hanging outside her face. She doesn't even know that she's not getting oxygen. She doesn't even know it because she doesn't need it. She is in such a favorable, fortuitous physical experience that she's playing a game. The doctor says, you've got to have oxygen because of this and that kind of that. And if you went around the world and you checked out everybody's oxygen, everybody would have a little less than what Ingeborg has. Ingeborg's got more oxygen going for her than most people in the world because she's overfilling the tank, you know. But that's good. That's no problem. But can you see? Addictions can be simple things like telling other people how to live their life. And what is it that gets in our way?
The nose.
Our big nose, where we feel we have to go in and do things for people. But do we? If, you know, Anita is another crazy cat, you know. And when Anita sees something needing to be done, regardless of whether the other person can do it or not, she does it herself. If she's walking with you and you drop your handkerchief, Anita picks it up. You can pick it up yourself, but Anita picks it up because she's always in harmony with all in divine order. Make sense?
Yes.
And she doesn't want credit for picking up. Oh, thank you for picking up my handkerchief. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on, get off it. I'll never pick it up again. Just say thanks, you know, or nothing. Just take it. Stick it inside your bosom, you know, and you won't lose it so quick, you know. So, this is what we're all about. Are you ready for that? Now, I'm going to have one addition here. White is all color. Colors are individual colors. And colors are by the zillion dillion. The infinite number of colors that are available are beyond imagination. But there's only one white. Only one white where it's all there. Now, if I were to take a handful of white in my hand, would I need to have the colors? I'd have them already, wouldn't I?
Mm-hmm.
They're right there. I take a handful of white in my hand, and I've got all the colors.
Yeah.
If I take a handful of unconditional love in my hand, what do I need any other kind of love?
No.
Yeah. If I see the world and surround the world with this, do I need any other kind? Well, so long as you feel sorry for yourself, so long as you feel that you are not getting everything out of life you should get, then you're in trouble. You're in trouble not because you're not getting it, not because it's not there, but because you don't recognize in the handful of white you have all the colors. Ingeborg, you wanted to say something?
Yes. Just to the comment you made before about the oxygen.
Yes.
I have the idea, I am convinced, even if this is not right, in the oxygen which comes out of the holes without going directly into another hole, somehow it meets this other oxygen.
Go for it.
All is in divine order.
Go for it. Go for it.
Thank you.
And do whatever you feel is comfortable and right. Perhaps they feel you need more oxygen and you only need a half a load. But maybe you don't need any. But do what your heart tells you to do, not what I tell you to do. Because I am your metaphysician, not your physician. And as your metaphysician, I see you,
yeah,
the ideal right now. All of you.
I accept.
Thank God.
Done.
Have a lovely morning. No, I love you, I love you, I love you. And so it is.
Yes.
Let's see where it is now. That's 31.